game. Oh no, I don't believe in those. You know, if we don't come to play, we don't come to play. But as far as trap game goes, man, we went. You know, we were 2-0 last year, and we kind of bad the next two last year. So I don't see trap games or that happening. You know, we're focused on this one. We're gonna give our all to this one.
It's Kyler Murray yesterday speaking to the media ahead of a Week 3 trip to Jacksonville, and Kyler Murray's memory is accurate. 2-0 last year, and they could kind of blank the bet in the next two against Detroit and Carolina. And most people focus, Bick, on the Cardinals squandering opportunities in Week 16 and 17 last year to win a game to get into the playoffs. But that Week 3 and Week 4 game, Detroit and Carolina were just as detrimental to them not getting in.
When they were 6-3 after the Hail Murray, one of our conversations was they could easily have been 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there were a couple of points, and this is why I said yesterday that in the short sample size of Cliff Kingsbury as head coach of the Cardinals, they've had a problem with prosperity. They've had a problem, coming to the football field every week with the requisite hunger to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has to be avoided at all costs. You're going to know a lot about this Cardinals team and just their demeanor in which they take the field on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Because think about following the Hail Murray. We thought that was, the sign that this is a special season and it's going to be such momentum. It actually turned out in retrospect that it was a game they should not have won. And they got lucky to win it, and it was more a sign that, things are bad, and they finished the season very weakly after that.
That's true.
You're hoping they're coming off another game that probably they should not have won.
You're exactly right.
And you're hoping you're not going to look at it as they were exposed there, and that was a lucky win. It's more like the other side where it's the turning point.
And when you look back over the lack of discipline that has affected this team, when you look back about just the general regime, this is one of the points that has always been a negative against Cliff Kingsbury. It's always been a negative for Cliff Kingsbury.
You know why that always takes me by surprise when you do that?
Kingsbury. Kingsbury.
And,
Kingsbury.
Right. So,
Kingsbury.
So when I talk about redemption and all that, if you've got your football team locked in on Sunday against a team you should beat and you pound them, okay, bravo. That's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely, especially heading into a Week 4 game in L.A. against a team in the Rams that a lot of people are picking to contend for a Super Bowl.
Well,
but that's the word now. After 2 weeks, there's 7 undefeated teams in the NFL, the Cardinals being one of them. And there seems to be this examination going on of which teams are actually for real. And I think the Cardinals are in that mix of, we don't know yet. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if this team is a contender or a pretender at 2-0. And a lot of it goes back to that Kyler Murray quote. Mm-hmm. We felt real good about 2-0 last year.
Yep.
The way the Cardinals handled their business, especially beating San Francisco in Week 1. They didn't handle it. You put it perfectly. They don't handle prosperity well.
No. And so the hunger, if this team really does have increased character, if they've got character, you'll see it Sunday. They'll take the field with fully aware of the opportunity that's right there in front of them. Do you know, this is a gift of a game for the Cardinals.
Character.
No doubt about it. You can get to 3-0. The Rams this week have to play the Buccaneers,
mm-hmm.
okay? If the Rams win that game, and that game's in Southern California, if the Rams win that game, think about what the Rams are going to feel like. And then you might have an unbeaten Cardinals team going to play that team. Now we're getting into high drama in Week 4, folks.
Well, because then also, a lot of people say, you can't really judge a team until you're, they do it in 4-game chunks, kind of. Going into next week will be that four. I know there's 17 games now.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, it'd be the quarter of the season and be the biggest game of the year. And you would not like to go into that game coming off a game you lost to the worst team in the NFL.
This is, in a lot of ways, this is really, really a fascinating week. We're really early on in the football season. But Sean McVay is under quite a microscope this weekend. Big game. Can he win one? Matthew Stafford is under something of a microscope this weekend.
Yeah, this is, the first quote-unquote big game he will quarterback for the LA Rams.
49ers have to play the Packers, What and this? So Jimmy Garoppolo, if Jimmy Garoppolo thinks Trey Lance is breathing down his neck now, if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't play well against this good Packers team, so it's all happening. Oh, this is really early, but we've got some litmus test stuff coming this week.
The Cardinals by far have the easiest game in the NFC West.
Easiest, no doubt,
no doubt about it.
They cannot give away this week.
No,
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly right. So they can't give this one away.
I said it before the season started, and this is, I know, it's not reactionary, it's not incendiary. I said before the season started, we will know what the Arizona Cardinals are or have a good idea about it after week 7. This is only week 3.
Mm-hmm.
If they go out and they pound the Jacksonville Jaguars, am I convinced that they're a contender? No, because I want to see what they do against a better team. Especially a team that has had their number for the last 4 years in the L.A. Rams. Then they play another division game. Then they go on the road at Cleveland to play a good Browns team, and then they come home to play one of the worst teams in the league in Houston. That's their first 7 games. I'll have a real good feeling about what the Cardinals are by then.
Okay. That's fair enough.
That doesn't mean I won't react in the moment.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough, and I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line right now at 620-620.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
D-backs and Braves last night at Chase Field. Top of the first, Braves draw first blood again. Ozzie Albies started things off with a sacrifice fly that scored Jose Soler against starter Merrill Kelly. Then we had the combination of long ball and adventure on the base path from the Braves.
First pitch to Duvall is hit a mile in the air to center. Back on it goes McCarthy and leaps. And did he catch it? No, it's gone. A 3-run homer by Duvall. Nope. Okay. The runner was passed. Duvall passed the runner at first base. Riley. Freeman is coming to score now. Riley will come in. So they will get 2 runs out of this. Duvall will be out for passing the runner.
Greg Schulte, sorting it all out. It's a rule, Jarrett.
It's stupid. It's just like if you don't touch first base on a home run.
Look,
if it's a home run, the ball is over the fence. It's a home run. After that, it's just
I kind of agree with Jarrett.
No.
I never understood why that has to be a rule.
Why do you even have to round the bases?
What do you want,
Jared, couldn't you, as the guy that hits the home run, run up to the guy, then put him on your shoulders, and you can go around the bases together?
But here's now what I don't understand. The base runner not knowing what's going on. I get that. Did he catch it? Did he not catch it? I'm not moving until the guy who hit the ball, I'd fine him for passing the guy in front of him.
Well, that's what I said earlier. Adam Duvall was watching his mammoth home run and didn't realize that his teammate was practicing good base running in front of him.
So anyway, he hit a ball over the fence that was a single.
You know, it's funny. At USA Today, Andrew Joseph, who's a big-time Braves fan, there was a great headline that said, Adam Duvall will have to hit his 38th home run all over again.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, he's had a tremendous season. So 3-0 at that point. Bottom of the first, Cole Calhoun got the D-backs on the board.
There's a line drive down the left field line. That's a hit by Calhoun into the corner. Marte sprints around second, heads to third, rounds third. He will come in to score. The Diamondbacks are on the board. 3-1 on a double by Calhoun. Nice job of hitting by Cole.
Yeah, 3-1 at that point. That's when the bats would slow down, but not for the Braves. Austin Riley doing his thing, hitting a mammoth home run.
Oh, boy. He'll win this one a mile, and that's going to sail on out of here. What a series he's had. What a season he's had. Number 31 for Austin Riley. And the Braves' lead goes to 4-1.
Yeah, that one went 449 feet, so these Braves' home runs haven't been cheapies. Ozzie Albies, he got into the act in the fifth inning.
There's a drive to right, and Ozzie Albies has done it. RBI's 99 and 100 on the year for him. He's knocked in 3 tonight. Home run number 30 on the year, and it's now a 6-1 Atlanta lead, scoring Freeman ahead of him.
Yeah, you kind of get the idea. It finished up 9-2. That Braves lineup, by the way, with Duvall and Riley and Freddie Freeman and Albies, and they don't even have Ronald Acuna Jr., who's been out. I mean, that lineup is just death. They're all having tremendous
years. Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
Dansby Swanson's having a pretty good year, too.
Now, is Acuna done?
He's done. Yeah, torn ACL.
So no play. Okay.
He's been out the whole year.
It's amazing. When he was injured, when he went down, I thought there's no way. He means way too much to that franchise. Yeah, that's just a remarkably good organization that went out and got the right guys when he went down.
They did.
Peterson has been good.
They made some deals at the deadline to get Solaire, Duvall. They've been great.
They're like the Spurs or the Cardinals or the Seahawks or these franchises that just are always good.
Meanwhile,
good.
Goldie hit a home run about 450 feet last night.
And the St. Louis Cardinals apparently are never going to lose a game again. There you go. D-backs Daily. That series wraps up today, 12:40 out at Chase with Madison Bumgarner on the mound for the D-backs. Coming up next, Matt Nagy finally made an announcement that got Bears fans excited. And then he added a big butt. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
I think I had a good idea that I was, might possibly start, so I wasn't really surprised by it, but just kind of focused and just trying to get prepared for Sunday.
That is Justin Fields, the now starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, which a tempered celebration in the Windy City.
I don't think it's tempered at all. I think they think they're on the brink of finally an era of great quarterbacking in Chicago.
Which they should feel like. There should be excitement about a player that talented drafted that high, especially considering their quarterback history. When I say tempered, though, I mean this because of what Matt Nagy said, the head coach of the Bears, while making that announcement.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back for Justin. Justin's worried about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. I've talked about it this entire time that we're not going to get into that what-if game. We do want to see who's, like when Justin's out here and what he's been doing in practice as a look team, trying to be the best quarterback he can be. That's all we want right now. That's all Andy and Justin want is to be the best they can be. And then when that time comes, there's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and then.
I wonder what that alert was. I hope everybody's okay.
Yeah, right.
Why, if you're Matt Nagy, do you make it that distinct?
Okay, there's two options here. Number one is that he indeed made a promise to Andy Dalton, come here, I got your back. You'll be my guy, I got your back. Maybe that's really important to Matt Nagy. Maybe he really made a commitment to Andy Dalton that he does not feel comfortable just yanking from him right now. That's option number one. Option number two is that this whole thing is played out in such a contentious way with the Chicago media, with Bears fans. Like I said earlier, early on in this, there was an element that Bears fans didn't want to hear about, and that was the element of Justin Fields not being ready to do this. Yet, it's also a thing where if this guy is really that good, and he's always succeeded in big stage situations before, which he pretty much has, that he'll figure it out. And so give him the ball. If he's a better player, give him the ball, give him the team, see what you got. That's the way Bears fans are. Maybe because this thing has gotten so contentious. When reporters 2 days ago are asking, who's your starter? I'm not telling you. Why not? Because that's about scheme. No, it's not. It's about your starting quarterback.
Oh, it's definitely about scheme.
And then quite literally 15 minutes later, a PR dude walks into the media room and goes, hey, we're going to clarify what Coach didn't say here. Okay, it's all very, very odd. Yet there's also a lot of expectation. It's a rough place to start. I'll bet you Matt Nagy didn't want to do this week three in Cleveland.
No, absolutely not. Now it was probably better than fumbling with this idea going into week one. I just can't get past it. Now, I know it goes back to, and it certainly indicates the way Matt Nagy has handled this would indicate that there were promises made to Andy Dalton. But aren't all promises made with a caveat or an asterisk next to them? Hey, right now you're our guy. Oh, but by the way, we got Justin Fields in the draft. He's the future. You're not. You got to start two games.
Yeah.
It's up to Justin Fields to make this a difficult decision on Matt Nagy now.
There you go. There you go. The ludicrous thing here is that Matt Nagy is telling a ludicrous lie to everybody. that Andy Dalton, when healthy, is our starter. It's a lie. Everybody knows it. If Justin Fields takes this opportunity and blows up, he's not pulling him off the field. Bill Belichick didn't give Drew Bledsoe his job back.
Or what was the guy that, Trent Green, when Kurt Warner took over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a different, I mean, he had a severe knee injury, so there was no chance he was coming back that season, and it just kind of worked out to the point where they could make a movie about that season.
I mean, Josh Rosen made it impossible for Sam Bradford to get his job back.
You could not take Rosen off the field.
You couldn't.
Similar situation. Going into the draft, you remember the social media quotes and the quote from the Cardinals, Josh Rosen is our guy,
right
from Cliff Kingsbury.
That's right.
He was our guy until they drafted Kyler Murray number one. The whole
Josh Rosen.
Right.
The whole thing is silly.
And so, right, and Andy Dalton's been in the NFL long enough. I mean, he's played in Cincinnati. He knows how dysfunctional this league can be. He knows this has to be a personal thing. Andy Dalton must have had options.
Mm-hmm.
And
but who cares?
I know.
Who cares at
what
this point?
What a dork. No, I know.
At this point, you started him the first two games when people didn't even want you to do that. So who cares? It's not like he's played so great these first two games.
No. Come on, man. He's the red rifle, dude. Don't diss him like that.
But don't think there's not a little bit of trepidation, too. The Bears won that game, but after Dalton went out, Fields didn't play well. And they beat a mediocre Cincinnati team, mediocre at best Cincinnati team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of eyes on Justin Fields this week. Tom Brady, big game against the Rams. The big talk with Brady outside of his stellar play is whether or not he's going to play till 50. He did that. He made that claim on a Buccaneers.com segment with Rob Gronkowski. Said, yeah, I could do it. I don't know if my wife will let me do it. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers, was on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and said this.
He looks like he's about 25 every day or 12 when he comes out to practice with a smile on his face and the way he attempts to go through practice every single day. And I wouldn't put it past him, that's for sure.
Wouldn't put it past him to try to go to 50.
Yeah.
And I know you
I don't want to see it.
You cringe.
Yes, I do cringe. I do. I've seen enough of Tom Brady. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I'm still.
Want to see him continuing?
I want to see it. Yeah. I've never seen it before.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I don't.
And on the other side of the spectrum.
Vinny, look at the way he's dyeing his hair.
It is it's pretty
disgusting.
Obvious.
And you're telling me you don't want to see that, how that evolves as he gets older and grayer?
His jowls developing?
I want to see him get so old that that hair dye, when he sweats, is just dripping down his face and past the chin.
Oh, no.
No, I want to see it. If it's an extreme age either way. Yeah. I'm captivated by it. I've never seen a 50-year-old NFL quarterback. I had never seen a 12-year-old world-class skateboarder. But there I was a couple months ago watching the damn X Games on a Saturday afternoon.
That's it.
If you're young or old, I want to see it.
Yeah, a really, really old skateboarder would be fantastic. An 80-year-old trying to do tricks?
That 12-year-old did beat a really old skateboarder. Tony Hawk was in that competition.
Wow, so you stuck with it.
I did.
Wow.
I don't remember the kid's name. And I'm not playing X Games or anything like
that. This is going to be a great game this weekend. This could be for the top seed in the NFC. And keep in mind, there is only one team that gets a bye in each conference this week. So the number one seed in each conference has never meant more.
Yes.
Never.
I have not heard it yet. The term, a possible preview of the NFC championship game. I haven't heard it yet. I'm sure we'll hear it before
end
of the week. Yeah.
Because it might be. I mean, it's ridiculously early to proclaim that.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's ridiculously early to have MVP discussions, too. And that's not stopping anybody.
Well, we have to cheer for the Bucks because you got to deal losses in the NFC West outside of the Cardinals.
Absolutely. Pac-12 play opens up this weekend as ASU takes on Colorado Saturday at Sun Devil Stadium. Head to the contest page now at ArizonaSports.com for your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, Sarah Cazell gets us caught up on the big stories of the day. Rush Hour Reboot straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Okay, 7:32 on a Thursday morning here on 98.7 FM. Bickley and Murata mornings. Welcome to the Rush Hour reboot, where we get you caught up on all the big topics of the day. Let's start with the Cardinals at the Jaguars on Sunday. The Cards, of course, 2-0 to start the season, and the Jags 0-2. Here is head coach Cliff Kingsbury on if he thinks this could be a trap game for the Cardinals.
I don't. You know, the way we played last week definitely got our players' attentions. We didn't play like we know we can. And so watching that tape yesterday, I believe our players understand what we need to do to get better. And I expect us to try and improve this week.
Okay. What do you guys think? Is there any risk at all of this being a trap game?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And until they show the hunger that each win is as important as the previous, I'm going to be worried about it. The Jaguars look like an easy W,
yes.
Maybe too easy. Yeah, I mean, I want to see this team take care of business. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah, I think there's
confident but concerned.
Teams and coaches will never admit that because they want to give their preparation and their team more credit.
Yeah.
But it exists. We see it all the time in sports. And we saw it, Kyler Murray said it's not a trap game, but then he referenced last year, which was kind of a trap game against Detroit after a 2-0 start. So they exist. I think the possibility is there.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know if Jacksonville is equipped to provide the trap game opposition
yes.
right now.
Can they capitalize on that?
Which would make it really disappointing if the Cardinals lose this game.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, sure would. I've got that Kyler Murray cut here right now, and he was a lot more emphatic than Cliff Kingsbury was about this not being a trap game.
Oh, trap game. Oh, no. I don't believe in those. You know, if we don't come to play, we don't come to play. But as far as trap game goes, man, we were 2-0 last year, and we, you know, kind of bad the next two last year, so I don't see trap games or that happening. We're focused on this one. We're gonna give our all to this one.
Okay, so there you have it. Not a trap game, says Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
we'll see.
But again, how many times the Suns were facing something that had sort of like the element of the psychological involved, and we all felt good because Chris Paul knew what's up, knew what was up, and wouldn't let that kind of stuff happen. Might feel that way about Kyler Murray. I mean, if Kyler Murray is the one that learned the lesson, then that might be good enough.
That
it all gets
be.
Back to okay. that. It's this kid is playing at a level right now where again, he's just lifting up every aspect of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely true. All right, Vic Fangio and the Broncos took down Urban Meyer's Jaguars in week two last week, a 10-point win, and apparently, Urban Meyer is still employing a college mindset during his first year as an NFL head coach. This is from Fangio yesterday.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, shook his hand before the game and after the game. And his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL, And that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
Okay, so newsflash. NFL teams are good, and it's not like college football. What do you guys think about those remarks? Do they inspire confidence in Urban Meyer for you? Because for me, they don't.
Nothing that he's done really has inspired confidence in me, which is kind of shocking. He was such a winning machine in college. Wherever he went, that you just figure it was, able to be duplicated at the pros. But he's finding out differently, and it to me, that kind of indicates, I don't know if you feel the same way, Bick, that he's a little wistful about his college days. This isn't so much fun having to play Alabama every week and getting my butt kicked when I'm usually handing out the butt kickings.
Without a doubt. He's getting a lot of criticism for this, and I don't think you can look at it a couple of different ways. I think he might have made that remark to Vic Fangio in a way that, man, this league is tough. And yeah, if you're Urban Meyer, I heard somebody else say this. I wonder when the last time Urban Meyer's football team was not favored to win a football game. That wasn't a college football playoff game. So,
been a long time.
Yeah, so we all see how maniacal Nick Saban is about winning and how no wins are enough, no amount of championships are enough. Urban Meyer is exactly the same kind of cat.
Yeah.
And so now he's, stacking up L's. Yeah.
How about the fact that
not only that Urban Meyer said that to Vic Fangio, that Vic Fangio a week later is like airing out the dirty laundry in a press conference is awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the NFL, Herb.
Right.
I was very surprised by that too.
And again, this is one of the fascinating things about this week, and it's that Cliff Kingsbury, he's been the guy that's been in over his head. Now it's Urban Meyer,
right?
A guy that was a titan in college football when Cliff was trying to stay afloat at Texas Tech.
So you're saying Cliff's going to take advantage of the newbie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying this win, if he can beat the Jaguars, and he should, I think this win is going to fill Cliff with some swag.
Oh, yeah.
Not that he needs anymore.
Maybe he'll start joking around more with the media.
That could be.
He might wear even less socks.
Impossible. When you start with no socks, how can you wear fewer socks than zero?
Do we know there's no socks, or are they just the invisible?
The no-shows?
Yeah.
I don't know. With the kind of shoes that he wears, I feel like those would be zero socks whatsoever.
I think, yeah.
But maybe we can ask him during our next conversation. With
zero socks.
No socks is gross.
Oh, it's disgusting.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
No slip footies, that's
the way to go. I don't
need
to see a dude's feet, especially yours, Jarrett. You and your hairy toes.
Cover your feet, Jarrett!
Shave your toes, Jarrett.
Stop rubbing your toes, Jarrett.
I don't do any of those.
This is so great being able to go 3-on-1 on you.
Oh,
2-on-1 was fun.
Another 3-on-1 break. Carl is the only one back. And he's dunked on again.
3-on-1. Time out, Carlin. He's got to regroup.
Oh, man, I've got to regroup. Okay, another question during this rush hour reboot. Trevor Lawrence, of course, the Jaguars quarterback, he said yesterday the game is starting to slow down for him a bit now that he's a couple weeks into his rookie year. Here he is.
I thought we had some plays that we missed, either missed throw, drop, whatever it was. We all just had our errors at bad times. But I really felt like I was seeing it well and kind of knew what was going on all around me. But still got to play better, got to execute.
Sure do. Okay, do you see Trevor Lawrence posing any kind of legitimate threat to the Cardinals on Sunday, or will he be easy to contain?
I think he's played okay so far. I do find it interesting that the rookie quarterback class as a whole, the ones that we've seen play, there was just this level of raving about them in the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
Another reminder of how different preseason football is from the regular thing, because they've all been kind of underwhelming to this point.
Right.
But I'm not gonna pretend that Trevor Lawrence isn't talented enough to get hot. If they don't defend him well, he'll make it hurt. He's a threat.
He can make every, as they say in the business, he can make every throw on the field. So guys like that are always inherently dangerous. I just don't think
pretty terrible last week, though.
Yeah, I just don't think they've got the program in a place where they can lay that kind of game on the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
do we think that Trevor Lawrence... Oh, there goes the music. Do we think Trevor Lawrence... I'm sorry. I'm being unnecessarily rude now.
Jarrett,
no, it's fine.
Note to Jarrett. Have that music bed extended.
That was my fault. You guys go past the break time every... I thought 41 was the break time.
Yeah, we're still on time.
Yeah,
calm down, Jarrett.
Thank you. Okay, final question. More of a follow-up, though, sticking with Trevor Lawrence. Like you just said, Vince, he was truly terrible last week. And I know it's only 2 weeks into his rookie year, but with all the hype, everyone talking about him being the surest thing as far as the number one pick goes and whatnot, do you think there's potential for a bust here? Or does he just need time?
I think he needs time. I think he's too talented a guy to be a complete bust. I know we've seen other guys that fit that description become complete busts. Mm-hmm. I look at him a little bit different.
Okay. I'm not sure what he's going to become. I'm really not.
He can't be at this point.
What are you becoming?
Right. What are you becoming?
He doesn't have that much help around him right now.
No.
Very true. Yeah.
And his coach.
Jarrett's waving his arms again, Vinny. Get to break.
have not broken on time once in our new time
slot. Isn't 7:41 the break time?
Man, shut off our mics then. And throw it to break.
Hey, you're late, but Jarrett's going to come on and talk.
Well, some things are worth...
Hold on, let me waste your time for just a little bit longer. Okay.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Sarah.
Hey, we've been rebooted. Jarrett, was there enough time for that?
We have, yes. Coming up next, it's Thursday, and I believe it is Jarrett Carlin defending his Mock My World title
really?
This
wow.
week. Yes.
Wow.
That's straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata. Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Mornings on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata. Mock My World.
Stop mocking me!
Brought to you by V's Barbershop.
Yes, it's that time again. Mock My World, the four-round snake-style draft among the members of Bickley and Murata Mornings. And that would be Dan Bickley, myself, Sarah Cazell, and defending champion Jarrett Carlin, who in last week's draft on the topic of best things Minnesota, he garnered 33.8% of the vote. Very close vote, one percentage point ahead of Sarah Cazell, who finished second. Jarrett's team was Larry Fitzgerald, Bob Dylan, the Mall of America, and Rose from Golden Girls. Yeah.
I can't believe you won with Rose from Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah, I'm Sarah second. I finished third, and Bick bringing up the
last
rear.
Last place?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am slumping.
And I think you had three very strong picks.
It's the accent, yeah. The way I phrase that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And even, I think, water skiing is what a fun activity, but not necessarily instantly associated with Minnesota.
Yeah, there was a lot of people from Minnesota that chimed in on that that social media thread.
Yeah, there was. That was cool.
I learned a lot about the state that I've never been to last week. Anyway,
like
this
Juicy
week.
Juicy Lucy's.
Yeah. Right?
Thank goodness for Minnesota and Juicy Lucy's.
I had one last night.
Did you really?
Without the bun, of course. They are delicious.
Whatever you got to do.
Yes. Yeah. This week's topic with the Cardinals heading on the road to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Uh-huh.
Greatest things about Jacksonville.
No.
That's not it. We have to have 16 picks for this draft.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jarrett came up with the idea of
Cats.
Famous cats. Jaguar is a cat. Famous cats, real fictional.
Yep, got it. Real fictional, and you could get creative if you want.
In reverse of last week's results, Bick's got the first pick. I'll go second. Sarah third. Jarrett fourth. Four-round snake-style draft. Go ahead, Bick.
Because Jarrett has given me the license to get creative, I am going to take Tiger Woods with my first
pick. Right off the bat. That's very good. I love it.
That is creative.
That is creative.
But so creative, you probably could have saved it for later in the draft because we wouldn't have thought of it.
Oh.
I wouldn't have gone there.
Okay.
Could have been a third round value pick.
See, this is why I'm no good at this game anymore. I've lost my way.
All right, Vinny,
you've lost your way.
Your second, Vince.
There's only one cat that I could think of that was just an absolute phenomenon in the early 80s that eats lasagna. And he's hilarious. Garfield.
Please do not pigeonhole to a fad. He is still a phenomenon.
Not like he was in the 80s.
That's a great pick, though.
Yeah, that is a great pick. I am going to take the
cat that hates Mondays despite not even having a job.
you're right. That's right.
Monday is no different than any other day.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the internet's favorite cat, Arizona's own Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
One of Dan's favorites.
Yeah.
Jarrett has two picks now, first and second round.
Well, there's a lot to choose. I'm going to go with the Cheshire Cat with the big grin from Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm. Love.
And Fluffering Fuckatash, Sylvester the Cat.
Nice.
Can you clean that up for the next person who has to use that microphone?
Yeah.
How about it?
Oh, God.
We use our own mic socks now.
Yeah, what a gift for young Jesse.
I don't know if that was enough to stop that torrential downpour.
More going on there.
Sarah.
All right. I am going to take a lion, which qualifies as a cat, I assume.
Oh, yep. It does.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking Simba.
Good pick.
Ooh. That's a great pick.
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't?
I mean, no, go continue. There's an obvious pick from that movie.
It's a great
pick. I wouldn't
say
it's Simba. Yeah.
The king?
No, the king of Pride Rock originally. All right, go. Continue, please.
I'm going with the personal choice here. Everybody's
he's never fair with that. Well.
Favorite hairless cat.
Yeah,
oh,
Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yes.
When Mr. Bigglesworth gets upset, people die.
It's good.
That's a strong pick.
That is.
What's creepier than a hairless cat?
Very little.
I like hairless
cats. The guy petting the hairless cat.
Yeah. You with your shirt unbuttoned?
Not hairless.
Oh, right. Right. That's right.
All right, Bick, you got two picks.
Okay. Give me Catwoman.
Oh, that was on my list. You going with the Julie Newmar?
No. Michelle Pfeiffer.
All day.
Over Michelle Pfeiffer?
No, Michelle Pfeiffer is...
Yeah, she was good, too. She was good, too. And I will take... I will take the Pink Panther.
Oh, goodness. That's a strong value pick. Third round. Back to me. Ugh, I'm not a cat person.
You know, Jared,
I'm going to go famous cats.
Famous cats. I'll go with Leo the MGM lion.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's not bad.
Is it good or not bad?
It's not bad.
who should I believe here?
It's good.
All right. Sarah?
All right. I'm going
to
take...
To add to your team of Grumpy Cat and Simba?
Yes. Cat in the Hat.
Oh, man. I thought that was going to fall to me. But that's a good one. All right. I got my two picks to...
To complete your team.
All right. I'm going
to
go with a pick who is great. Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger. Jarrett doing all the voices.
And then just to be a little creative, I'm going to go with my favorite show as when I was younger, Dr. Katz.
What? Dr. Katz. Wow, you just cost yourself votes.
I shouldn't have gone.
So obscure.
I don't even
I should
know
have gone
with
Katz Delicatessen.
Referring to. That's good. All right, I am going to...
Dr. Katz was an animated therapist, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Wait,
and had
what?
A bunch of stand-ups on it.
Yeah.
That's how I was introduced to all, you know, Jeff Ross and Patton Oswalt. And anyway.
Okay. I am going to take from Shrek, Puss in Boots.
I didn't think of that one. That's a good one.
Played by the amazing Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
I'm going to go... I think I should get a little creative with one of these. I'm going to go with the guy that makes me laugh. Cat Williams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
All right, Bick. You've got the final
pick
of the
pick,
draft.
I will take the Cowardly Lion.
Oh, put him up. Put him up. I'll fight you both together. I'll fight you one but time I have my back.
There's way more famous cats than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
How about the Heathcliff snub,
Heathcliff. Well, once you go Garfield, Heathcliff is like picking Hydrox after you picked Oreos already. You know what I mean? Because I had Heathcliff on my list, but once you had Garfield...
There goes your Hydrox endorsement, Jared.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. Cat Dennings?
The Stray Cats, the musical group.
Oh, that's right.
Aslan from
I don't
Lion,
know if
the
that's true,
the
but I heard they were going to rock this time.
Jinxie Cat from Meet the Parents.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
How about Miles Davis, the coolest cat in town?
Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yes.
Tom from Tom and Jerry.
Oh, that's a good one.
Raja from Aladdin, a personal fave.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
We should have had more players.
No,
there was more cats to go around. All right, Bick's got Tiger Woods, Catwoman. I'm not sure that's a great idea having them on the same team.
Whoops.
The Pink Panther and the Cowardly Lion. I've got Garfield, Mr. Bigglesworth, Leo the MGM Lion, and Cat Williams. Sarah's got Grumpy Cat, Simba, Cat in the Hat, and Puss in Boots. And Jarrett's got the Cheshire Cat, Sylvester, Tony the Tiger, and Dr. Katz. We'll get this up on Twitter. You vote. You determine the winner at Bickley_Murata. It's Mock My World every Thursday, every day at 8 o'clock. You get the Bickley Blast, and it's coming up next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.